Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
Is it too dry for fireworks on the 4th of July? Hello again, I'm Marvin Alney, and this is Which Way LA, KCIW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. It's the traditional way of being patriotic, but the city of LA is prepared to cancel any fireworks display right up to the last minute. One scientist at the JPL says there should not be any at all. We'll hear about fire safety. Also tonight, Mayor Villaraigosa makes a public announcement, the name of his mistress, and the LA Times tells City Attorney Delgadillo, resign. On Reporter's Notebook, is Governor Schwarzenegger's global warming effort in trouble? First, here's the news. Warman Alney back with Which Way LA on KCRW. Is it too dry for fireworks? Tonight we'll hear that the risks are higher than ever for a traditional 4th of July. On Reporter's Notebook, we'll talk with the top administrator at the State Air Resources Board. She's resigned, saying the Schwarzenegger administration has lost its way on air quality. First, this story. Mayor Villaraigosa has been sued for divorce by his wife, Corina, and today he told reporters the name of his mistress, NBC Telemundo reporter Mirthala Salinas. At a news conference, he denied that Salinas is pregnant.
I don't believe that the details of my personal life are relevant to my job as mayor. And I once again ask the media that they respect the privacy of my children and my family. I believe that the vast majority of people base their sense of trust on what you do in your public life, whether or not you keep your promises. I said to people when I first was elected that I work as hard as you do from my first day to my last.
Sherry Babich Jeffy teaches at USC and talks politics on KNBC-TV. Always good to have you on our program.
My pleasure, Warren.
Now, this is the first time we've covered this story on Which Way LA. We've been sort of staying away from it.
Congratulations.
But the mayor makes it impossible.
Exactly. I think that's really part of his problem. I mean, he says that he wants privacy for his family, for his children. And as Steve Lopez put it today, every time he says he wants privacy, we can be sure that there will be a news conference coming up. That's part of what's been going on.
Well, has he been, as he indicates or suggests in his statement we just heard, hounded by the media about this issue?
Well, sure, because he was the one who had the press conference early on after he issued what I thought was a very appropriate written statement announcing his separation from his wife, Corina, and said basically what he had said in the statement and then said, please give us our privacy. Don't bother us. Well, it reminded me, certainly not at the same level, but it did remind me of the press conference that Gary Hart, the U.S. Senator Gary Hart, had before the 1988 campaign, in which he said, if you don't believe me that I'm not playing around, just follow me around. And that challenge led reporters from the Miami Herald to follow him around and find Donna Rice on his doorstep.
He actually found her on his lap on a boat.
Well, that's true, too, on monkey business. You're absolutely right. The mayor just basically said, I'm not going to talk about it, and you know what that does to the media. That's a bone that they're all going to go after to chew.
Well, what do you think this is going to mean for the mayor as he continues his political career, not just here as mayor of Los Angeles? He's widely expected to run for governor.
Well, I've been thinking about that, and that's a question that's come up a lot today, and it is not going to make it easier for him to run for governor, but I don't think it precludes it. I mean, we're in a different environment today. I think what voters look for is the mayor's ability to produce on the promises that he made in the campaign for mayor. I think what voters look for is the mayor's ability to produce on policy, to produce on the promises that he made during the campaign, that he's made during his term in office. There will be a lot of factors that are going to influence voting behavior, and this issue may well be one of them, but I don't think it will be the overriding one.
Sort of ironical that he held this news conference today, the day the new school board takes effect, and school board that he helped to put in.
Well, you know, and somebody brought this up, and this is going to sound almost salacious, but I have to admit that in the back of my mind I wonder about it. this is a mayor who has positioned himself as a champion for the children, a champion for schools. We're going to make our schools better. We're going to have accountability. We're going to have leadership. Well, he really hasn't exhibited those characteristics, at least publicly, in the last few weeks.
All right. On the other hand, of course, this is the Bill Clinton era. We certainly heard
exactly
a lot more about him than we might have about any other, virtually any other official I can remember, certainly any president. And, of course, he's still one of the most popular people in the country.
And he had a good presidency. He might have had a great presidency, but even in the end, he had a good presidency. And remember, too, that he is now accompanying Senator Hillary Clinton in Iowa, around the country, as she runs for president. So somebody must have done some polling that says, Bill, all is forgiven. They love you. You can be seen in public with your wife.
Sherry Babbage Jeffy from USC and KNBC Television. Today's LA Times calls on Rocky Delgadillo to resign as city attorney after he admitted that his wife illegally drove a city car, failed for a decade to clean up a bench warrant issued for driving on a suspended license, didn't have insurance. He denies reports, though, that city officials have been required to babysit his children. Nonetheless, the LA Times says it's time to step down. He says he's not going to do that. He says he's sorry about the missteps he's made, but the honorable thing, he says, is to remain in office and clear them up. What about his future?
Well, this is a different dynamic, Warren. What the mayor has done does focus on his personal behavior, separate from his professional performance in the office of mayor, the governmental functions of the office of mayor. The questions that have been raised about the city attorney bear directly on the position to which the voters elected him. He is supposed to be the top law enforcement officer, the top prosecutor for the city of Los Angeles, the overseer of the ethical guidelines, and it is being questioned as to whether or not he bent or broke the law or disregarded those ethical guidelines. This bears directly on the need for a top law enforcement officer to have the trust of the electorate. And so it's a bit more dynamic in its relationship to the individual and to the politician and to the performance by the politician in office.
And these offenses, while they may seem minor, are in fact the kinds of offenses that the city attorney prosecutes.
Exactly.
That's what he's there for.
Exactly. And and even if it is perception, we both know that in politics perception is reality. If there is a perception that the top law enforcement officer, the city attorney, is ignoring the laws he's supposed to enforce, that's not a healthy one. And the electorate, I don't think, will stand for that. And the other irony in all of this is, of course, it was Rocky Delgadillo who moved to prosecute Paris Hilton for what? Driving with a suspended license. And then when Sheriff Lee Baca let her out early after only a few days of her sentence, Rocky Delgadillo called a news conference berating the sheriff and demanding that she serve her full time. At the very least, he is guilty of massive hypocrisy.
The L.A. Times can't remove him from office.
No.
Certainly it can put on some pressure, but it would be, it seems to me, very surprising if anything more happened about this. He says he's not going to resign, and I don't think anybody's going to be able to force him.
Well, there are rumblings of a possible recall movement against the city attorney, but a recall movement is very difficult. However, should there be one organized, I can guarantee you, you will see copies of that LA Times editorial circulated widely by whomever is on the recall committee.
All right, Sherry Babbage Jeffy, USC, KNBC TV, as always. Thanks a lot for being with us.
My pleasure.
I'll be right back with Which Way LA.
You're listening to Which Way LA, KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. Warren Olney also hosts To the Point about issues of national concern. Weekdays at noon on KCRW, distributed nationwide by Public Radio International.
Warren Olney back with Which Way LA. The so-called rainy season that ended 3 days ago was the driest in Los Angeles since record-keeping began 130 years ago. Rainfall was nearly a foot less than normal, 3 inches rather than 15, more like Death Valley. We've already seen some major fires, and local officials are stepping up education and enforcement to deal with brush clearance and fireworks. Bill Patzert is climatologist at the Jet Propulsion Lab. Always good to have you on our program.
Good afternoon, Warren. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, there are going to be official fireworks displays, we understand, tomorrow, put on by various agencies. Do you think they ought to do it?
Well, you know, I'm conflicted on this one, Warren. You know, I'm a big believer in the 4th of July because, you know, it really celebrates something unique. And really, its origins go back to really as 1776. John Adams said that we should have, on the 4th of July, we should have a huge celebration with guns and bells and bonfires and illuminations. But, on the other hand, it's so dry out there, we're going to reach triple digits over much of the Southland in the next couple of days. And so, you know, in deference to the firefighters, I don't know which way I'm going to go on this.
You have given Burbank the Bill Patzert Award for 2007. What's that mean?
Well, you know, Burbank actually decided to cancel their fireworks. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage because fireworks and barbecues, you know, that's an American tradition that goes back more than a couple of hundred years. But on the other hand, it's an extremely incendiary situation, very unique this year. And so, you know, all those people have big screen TVs, and so they can watch the celebration in Washington or New York.
Pasadena is spraying fire retardant on brush in some of the places that are thought most vulnerable to fires. Is that a good idea?
Well, you know, those beautiful homes along the edge of the Arroyo there, I think it hasn't burned in over 100 years. But, you know, it does seem... There's something wrong with that picture, you know, doing spraying fire retardant at the taxpayer's expense so that the taxpayers can have fireworks on the 4th of July. But, you know, on the other hand, like I said earlier, it's America's most important secular celebration. And, you know, there's nothing like America in the rest of the world.
That Arroyo, of course, near the Rose Bowl, which is where the fireworks will be.
Exactly.
Bill Patzert, again, climatologist at the Jet Propulsion Lab in La Cañada, Flint Ridge. Brian Humphrey is a spokesperson for the Los Angeles City Fire Department. Brian Humphrey, good to have you on our program. I know this is already an incredibly busy time for you.
Indeed, it is every year this time of year, Warren. We're quite busy already, and we're looking forward to the 4th.
What about the 4th? What about the fireworks displays? How many in Los Angeles, and are they susceptible to cancellation?
Well, they are indeed, as they have been in the past, Warren. Each and every permit that we have issued over the years contains the clause that there will be an on-site fire department inspector, and should that inspector notice anything unsafe or improper, that the show can be canceled on a moment's notice. Rarely is that necessary, and usually it's as a result of sightseeing aircraft or children wandering into the wrong area. But indeed, this year, should there be a sudden wind or change in things, we may have to call a fireworks show off.
How many permits have you issued and to whom?
There were more than 24, and the shows are listed throughout the Los Angeles area on our fire department website for those who may be interested. And we also have a toll-free hotline that I'll be happy to give out at the end of our interview.
Okay, so you have a website, you have a toll-free hotline, 24 permits. Are the biggest ones the ones run by the public agencies themselves?
Most of the larger shows are run by the public agencies or by service clubs who gather money throughout the year to host shows ranging from Lakewood, Santa Monica, Altadena, sometimes out to as far as Burbank in past years, Carson, Castaic, and the like. And we encourage people to attend a public show rather than private fireworks. And, Warren, it's quite interesting. Most people aren't aware that in the city of Los Angeles, the personal use or possession of fireworks has been illegal since World War II.
Not, however, in all parts of Los Angeles County. So do people go to other places and then bring them into the city?
Unfortunately, they do. Oftentimes, Warren, they go out of state or out of town, and they bring these fireworks into the city of Los Angeles. And as Police Chief Bratton had mentioned at a recent press conference, the city of Los Angeles has a zero tolerance for the personal use of any firework. Even a sparkler is illegal. So we encourage people, again, to attend one of the many public fireworks shows, or as your other guest said, join one on television or view one. Find a way to be together to celebrate your freedom, in this case, your freedom from wildfire.
What are the penalties for using fireworks in the city of L.A.?
Well, Warren, we've had some people who have had egregious violations, and they can be felonies. You can go to state prison, a cold, dark corner of San Quentin, for having fireworks, in this case, explosive shells, sometimes tons of them stored in houses and being sold illegally. The average person, however, typically will be cited for an infraction and may have to appear before the court. Of course, the worst part of it all, besides the penalties, is the potential for causing harm or injury, destroying your neighbor's home or possibly causing injury or worse to a neighborhood child. So when we think of what the risks are, we say join firefighters and their families at a public fireworks display. They're easy to find, and most of them are absolutely free.
There have been reports, people here on our program have seen, that in some places, Echo Park, Silver Lake included, there have been fireworks going on every night. Are those likely illegal?
Absolutely. There is no personal use of fireworks in the city. I'm not aware of any permitted shows in those areas, and our good friends at the LAPD are very aggressively pursuing those. And when they find evidence of fireworks, people are being cited or arrested. Police Chief Brad made it very clear, zero tolerance this year.
Big fire in Griffith Park this year. What about barbecuing in the parks?
Well, the LA Department of Recreation and Parks has placed signs in the Griffith Park area, clearly outlining what is permitted and not permitted. And we'd ask people, as you mentioned, Warren, something as simple as a barbecue that goes awry could be as evil as a firework. So if people are outdoors, please use common sense with off-road vehicles, with any power equipment, and especially barbecues and the like, to make sure that you don't inadvertently make this a holiday that you'll never forget.
Okay, Brian Humphrey with the Los Angeles Fire Department. Give us the website. Give us the toll-free hotline.
You can visit the Los Angeles Fire Department website at lafd.org. Again, that's lafd.org. And the toll-free hotline is 888-654-FIRE. And again, that's 888-654-FIRE. F-I-R-E.
Okay. Once again, busy day for you today and certainly tomorrow and probably for the rest of the summer. Thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome, sir.
Brian Humphrey, spokesperson for the Los Angeles Fire Department. I'll be right back with Which Way LA.
For more information about Which Way LA or to sign up for the free podcast, visit kcrw.com/whichwayLA. CD copies are also available. Call 1-800-600-KCRW.
Warman Olney back with Reporter's Notebook on Which Way LA. Governor Schwarzenegger has basked in international publicity over efforts to clean up the air and control greenhouse gases. But Catherine Witherspoon says this administration has lost its way on air quality, and I no longer want to be part of it. She has resigned as executive director of the Air Resources Board, which has led the nation in dealing with air pollution. Ms. Witherspoon, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
How long were you with the ARB?
Well, I started in 1981 as a student assistant, and I've been at the board continuously with a four-year break since then.
So that's a long time, obviously a career a commitment on your part. You resigned yesterday. What was the principal issue that caused you to leave?
Well, I was angry about the criticism of Dr. Sawyer's leadership and with the pattern of interference that went on before he was dismissed. Neither the staff nor the board were being allowed to do their jobs, and they were criticized publicly for delays that were actually the result of interference by the governor's staff.
Mr. Sawyer, of course, Robert Sawyer, a chair of the 11-member California Air Resources Board, for whom you were the executive director. Well, who was it that was interfering with your work?
Well, it's the senior staff of the governor, Susan Kennedy's chief of staff, and Dan Dunmoyer, his cabinet secretary. And they were concerned about traditional Republican constituencies, about costs to business. They were concerned about sending the wrong signals on climate change, that we might actually try to reduce greenhouse gases instead of only dabbling in markets. And so they put very tight reins on the Air Resources Board to the point where it became intolerable.
There's a philosophical issue here. When you say really making changes as opposed to the market, do you do this by virtue of regulation? Do you try to set up cap-and-trade programs? Was that the kind of dispute that was involved?
Well, the Air Resources Board agrees with the governor that cap-and-trade needs to be part of the solution. The problem is the administration didn't want to talk about anything else. They didn't want to talk about the complementary command and control regulations that are needed, the complementary public investments that are needed. And so it was just this endless fixation on cap-and-trade, and it's alienated the state legislature. It made it difficult for the Air Resources Board to work on the total set of solutions. And it caused them to prohibit our board from adopting more than three early action measures to reduce greenhouse gases, and it was that flap that caused the chairman to be fired, and then I followed him out the door.
Did you find this inconsistent with what the governor's been saying publicly and with the kind of publicity he's been getting for advocating control of greenhouse gases?
Well, yes, I do. I think that it's terrific to sell the message around the world and to gather partners to our side, but we have to do the real work and focus on how we're actually going to reduce greenhouse gases and then export those strategies, not just rhetoric.
What about the diesel fuel issues that, as I understand it, are supposed to be decided upon by the board very soon? There were four proposed regulations. The governor's office, as I understand it, would only go for three. That was one of the reasons that Robert Sawyer presumably was fired.
Well, those were the early action measures for greenhouse gases. The diesel issue before the board is the construction rule, which the board began its hearing on in April and will continue in July. And I'm happy to say that the administration seems to have seen the light and wants that regulation to proceed. For several months, they were leaning on us, on the Air Resources Board, to weaken the rule, to make it less costly, and to extend the compliance dates out to 2025. And they have stopped doing that, and I think the board will be able to adopt an appropriate and responsible rule.
Did you or Robert Sawyer or anybody else tell the governor personally that Susan Kennedy, his chief of staff, and other people in his administration were hampering your efforts?
We didn't get that opportunity, but I really think the governor needs to hire an environmental advisor for his inner circle. I don't think he's hearing the complete story of all sides of the issue, and so he's making some wrong decisions.
This afternoon, he announced that he's appointing Mary Nichols to be the replacement for Robert Sawyer as chair of the Air Resources Board. She worked for Jerry Brown. She worked for Gray Davis. She was in the Clinton administration in the Environmental Protection Agency. Is that a good appointment?
It's a fantastic appointment. And now all he needs to do is get out of her way and let her do the job. Mary hired me as a student in 1981, and I think that her career speaks for itself. The staff of the Air Resources Board are delighted that she's going to be their new chair, and I think she'll be able to do great things if the administration lets her.
You have been publicly critical. I don't know if this is possible, but if she asked you to go back, would you do it?
I need to cool off for a little while. Perhaps in a year or two I would come back. I love government. I've given my life to public service. And I think I've been good at it, but it's time for a break.
You've also had some tough words for the Democrats in the legislature.
Well, not tough words. I want them to focus on the real issues. I have tough words for elected officials. They've all embraced the cause of doing something about climate, but they haven't taken the time to learn what it's really going to require of us as a society to make this transition. They need to study the wedge analysis that, you know, Dr. Sokolow has in created to say, how is it that you get a million metric tons of greenhouse gas reductions, and then figure out how we're going to pay for that and who's going to bear the burdens. There's a lot of work yet to do, and the legislature needs to focus on those issues as well.
Is the governor himself also one who needs to learn more?
Yes, he does. I mean, he's a very optimistic man, and he would like it to be straightforward, but he's also a brave man, and he will take courageous steps. It's just that he wasn't paying enough attention when his staff ordered us not to do more early action measures, and that was bad, bad management, and he needs to do better going forward.
Catherine Witherspoon, thank you very much for talking to us tonight.
You're very welcome.
Resigned yesterday as executive director of the California Air Resources Board, where she has been since 1981. When she was still a student. Which Way LA, produced tonight by Katie Cooper and Vanessa Romo. Our technical director is Phoebe Zimmerman. I'm Orman Alney. Join us again for Which Way LA on 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.